closer.
You are listening to the La Tavola Marque Radio Network. Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for downloading our podcast, man. It's been a while.
It has.
My name is Jason, and I'm joined by my beautiful wife, Ashley.
Ciao.
And together we run La Tavola Marque, a little agriturismo and cooking school and farm in the beautiful hillsides of Le Marque in Piobico. And tonight we are coming to after dinner late night.
Late night.
It is 11:10.
Ooh.
50 minutes before the witching hour.
We normally do morning podcasts.
We do. We're morning podcasters. I feel like we're more energetic and more uppity.
This is true. I've had some limoncello, so I'm feeling good.
It's the 20th of June. We haven't made a podcast in almost a month now.
I know. We've tried. I swear to you, our wonderful, wonderful listeners, we have tried. It's however, we get interrupted by Gaji wanting to get down into the garden, guests wanting breakfast, hello, or just the crazy busy days. So we finally thought, all right, we tried to do it earlier today. We're not able to, so we thought we've got to get one done tonight.
It's been a trying day. It's been kind of a day today. Today it was pizza night. We just finished up pizza night.
Well, this is true, but we should start at the morning.
Oh, the morning. So I hurt myself today. Not bad. And it wasn't in the kitchen, so that's good.
I know, but at around 8:30, Jason.
So at 8:30, I go to fill up the water, and we have a pump or the water for my garden, and I have two cisterns that I fill up twice a day to feed my garden. And there's a pump down by the little stream that runs along the side of the house. And I was going down there to shut it off, and it's always wet down there. And I slipped, and I put my hand out to steady myself, and I steadied myself on top of the exhaust of the pump that I needed to shut off.
Burn. And you burned.
And you can see in the palm of my hand the grill for the exhaust and where the screws go.
That's the scariest part. You see where the screws go? He came into the kitchen. I was doing breakfast stuff, refilling whatever, bringing in dishes. And Jason is not one to ever complain about anything or need a Band-Aid for anything. He's like, whatever. It's fine. He comes into the kitchen saying, do you know if we have any burn cream? And I was like, oh my God, I could have broken into tears right then. I just thought, if he's asking for burn cream, stop what you're doing. This is serious business. Gaji, thankfully, was here in the garden.
The doctor hooked it up.
I know. I went running down to him. Dottore, dottore, vieni qui. Jason got hurt. Come here quickly. And he came up and checked him out. And he was a little rough.
I didn't think he was rough at all.
Only
he was
with a paper towel.
Oh, relax. Godster was good. We didn't have any burn cream.
No.
We didn't have any big gauze.
We had nothing.
We had nothing.
Like, we did have some gauze.
But,
and cortisone cream.
Yeah, but not. So I ran down to the pharmacy and got a bag full of stuff.
Gaji wrote out what to ask for.
Gaji wrote it out, got everything I needed, and we're fine.
I know, but
we're
it was one of these.
Making a big deal out of nothing.
I know, but it was crazy because you were doing a pasta class and then pizza night, and I just thought, OMG, this is not a night for this to happen, or a day for it to start like this.
And especially at the beginning of the season. But
no, but God, she was good. As soon as you came back from the pharmacy, he came right up. And
he did. He went into doctor mode. Mm-hmm. It was kind of funny to see.
Mm-hmm. He told me what to do. He shouted to me as I was watering the flowers. He's alive. But
the pasta class went off great. We have wonderful guests here from Arizona, and they took
all over the world
now. Then we did pizza night tonight, and it went well. But we have a ton to talk about.
I know. Let's take it back.
Let's take it back. Gosh, it was the middle of May last time we talked, and we were complaining about how cold it was and how it was still freezing and we still had the heat on. Well,
we found out also that it was the coldest May in Italy in 200 years.
Of course.
I love these things.
Of course, that's completely accurate.
Well, if you know anything from this podcast, we say nothing but fact.
But so now it's like the surface of the sun.
temperature?
It was like 35 degrees. It was in the high 90s today with a warm wind. And
they're calling it the heat of Adde.
Adde. So they've gotten to name. They've been doing this for the last year or so, or a couple of years. They'll start naming all the weather systems that come through.
The heat waves.
Well, the heat, and in the winter, they name they name all the weather systems that come through. So this was Adde. And it was like summer came in 2 days.
Above there was no spring. 30 degrees by 10 a.m.
Yeah, and now it's just hot, hot, hot. So, now we can switch to complaining about how hot it is.
But the garden is loving it.
Well, the garden's doing well. The tomatoes have come back. The garden's in full swing. I mean, everything's planted. Everything needs water. We're weeding and hoeing, and the pool's open. All the things, summer things, are in full go right now.
Well, speaking of the garden, when you've been shopping at the end of May, early June, you had a really hard time.
Yeah, it was really the prices for produce and just the availability of produce this year because of all the terrible weather we had never really happened. The like peas and fava beans and all that stuff stuff from down in Puglia and Sicily came, but then as it was supposed to start coming up the peninsula, so that's kind of what happens. The seasons starts in kind of Sicily and Puglia and Calabria, and you'll get the spring vegetables, the peas and the fava beans and the asparagus and all this, that stuff will start coming from there. And then as the spring progresses, it'll start coming up the peninsula, and then you'll see it's from, it'll be from the Lazio, and then it'll be from Arezzo, and then it'll be our turn. It'll, all later in the spring, usually towards the end of May, our fava beans and our peas and all that stuff will be ready. And you'll get it for the April, beginning of May down from south. But we didn't have it this year because our weather was so terrible. So all of a sudden, there was no vegetables to be found. And my garden wasn't producing because we had terrible weather as well. So there was a couple of weeks right before your sister's and during your sister's wedding where it was like, oh my God, there's nothing here.
It made menu planning really hard. It
made menu planning really hard because places would stop, the fruttivendore, the fruit and vegetable stands, stop buying that stuff because no one's going to pay 8 years, 7 euro a kilo for whatever. I mean,
because what would fava,
in season fava beans? Oh my God. Like,
and we're talking
in the pod. Yeah. Fresh fava beans when it's in season, mm-hmm. when they're at their cheapest, a euro 50, maybe a euro a kilo. And they were, eight times that, six times that. So
be getting, things like, asparagus and carciofi, artichokes.
They give them.
They give crates away.
Yeah. It's like, take this crate and give me 5 euro kind of thing. And it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that at all. So now that the summer stuff is in.
And fruit was really, strawberries were crazy.
Were crazy expensive. Cherries, we didn't see. We haven't seen really figs at all.
Well, and also our poor set. Go back a few podcasts and Jason totally spot on. We were talking about the trees and our fruit trees and that they went straight to. None of them blossomed, which meant that they weren't going to produce fruit. And he was totally true and spot on. And I was like, oh no, I think I saw some. No.
We don't have a single nothing. There was like a handful of cherries on one tree and that's about it. But so yeah, that was difficult with the trying to plan a wedding and trying to plan a wedding menu around. I don't know if we're going to have artichokes in the market tomorrow, or
that it's the first week of June. We should have figs.
Yeah, there was none. No figs. I mean, now I've seen figs a few times, and some of the figs,
but only from the place in Piobico, the small.
Yeah, not Fresca Fruta, and the ones around here are not ready at all. I've been checking the trees. Every time I pass a fig tree, I stop.
So since we've been talking kind of a little bit here and there coyly about the wedding, should we mention that now?
Yeah. So, well, you go ahead.
All right. My sister got married. Yes. So the wedding went off. It was amazing and beautiful. And there was about 30 family and friends who came out from Seattle, Washington. And it was wonderful. We were super prepared. I know we sounded stressed and all of that, but it really all came together. And people pitched in and helped move things around or, help us, the day of the wedding, kind of get the other location at Valpietro set up. But it was great, and the menus were beautiful, and I think everyone had a really great time. My sister chose the spot under the trees near the picnic tables to get married under, and it was wonderful, and we moved a bunch of the flowers, and you built an arch, and the florist came with garland of bay leaves to wrap around it and the flowers, and I think it was beautiful.
Yeah, everything worked out well. It was it was a lot of work and a kind of a, not really stressful, but just a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, I mean, I love my family, but family can be a lot more work than just regular guests at times, because, you know, you want to hang out and you want to be part of everything, but you need to get your work done, and we were sure able to get all of it done, but it's staying up super late. We stayed up to like 2 a.m. one night.
Ooh, we are party animals.
I know. That was so late. Normally, a normal thing like that, it's like, all right, let the guests stay up. We'll come up either way later or super early in the morning and get it all cleaned up. But this time you're hanging out, you're having a good time. And
then you have to wake up and do breakfast for 20.
Exactly. And because my family was still, like, my grandpa is in his late 80s, he gets up at like 6 something. So it's like we want to have coffee out by 6:30. And normally breakfast starts at 8. So it's like you're up and you are moving. But
And no one understood how we have to work. Like,
people would say to you, you're running around all the time.
It's like, yeah, there's so much. Not only do I have to do all the normal stuff, we have a wedding, you know, we have all this stuff going on. So
do you remember the menu off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head.
Couple crostini.
Yeah. Well, we didn't do a lot of antipasti because we did a whole antipasti buffet 2 days before. Mm-hmm. So I just did some crostini and some prosciutto and melon passed around. And then first primo was a farro and asparagus soup with shaved truffle.
That was
black
gorgeous.
Truffle. That was gorgeous. Then we did tagliatelle with porcini mushroom.
And truffle.
And that was nice. And then we did lesso di vitello with salsa verde.
I love that.
Poached veal with the beautiful salad. With salad of arugula, radish, and tomato with poached veal with a green sauce, salsa verde, and then porchetta, which was a hit.
Everyone
loved the porchetta.
And then the dessert was
off the hook. Oh my God, the dessert was off the hook. Megan, best decision she made was getting her...
It really was.
It really was. It was the best decision she made was getting her wedding cake, a gelato from Maki. Oh, Maki, that's right.
Yeah, we'll talk about
that. We'll talk about
too.
That. Okay. From Maki, our favorite gelateria in Fano. We're good friends with Paolo and Antonio. And they made a gorgeous, gorgeous dark chocolate semifreddo cake, and then on the side was strawberries that they cut in half and then filled with strawberry sorbet, and a slice of that with a strawberry. That was good.
It was so good.
I sat down and had a piece of that.
Nothing was left over.
No, they.
And on the side note of them, a huge, huge congratulations to Paola and Antonio, because they were just named one of the top 50 gelaterias.
And they didn't come in at 50.
No, one of the top 50 gelato shops in Italy. And there's got to be thousands. And they are number freaking 17.
I know. They're awesome. We are biased. We think they're number one.
I know. But it was so incredible. And bravo. Hats off to you two. They are, they're just wonderful.
They're still at work right now.
I'm sure they are.
They're like us. They work like slaves in the season.
I know. They only have Tuesdays off.
Yes. But great for them. We couldn't be happier. We're very proud. And
yes.
They deserve it because...
They really do.
They really do.
They work hard.
And we talk about them all the time.
I know. So anyone in Fano? Maki.
Maki. Anything else to add about the wedding?
No. Congratulations to my sister Megan and Kevin. That's it. And thanks to all the family and their friends that came out. It was really cool.
Other updates from around our area. The road. Oh, my God. Our road is so horrible.
Oh, my God. I keep thinking someday they're going to come. I thought it was the rains of spring that they were waiting for.
So we spoke about this, that we live on a white road, and it gets...
Strada Bianco.
It gets full of potholes because there's huge, heavy machinery that go up and down these roads every day. From big, huge trucks filled with... tons and tons of wood.
Thousands of pounds of wood
to giant tractors pulling giant
trailers
of hay, like of huge hay bales, to myself racing down it like it's a rally.
In a Honda ADH.
In a Honda i10.
Yeah, sorry. Unsouped up.
But usually every spring they fill the holes with crushed gravel, which is a waste of time and money. However, they do it every year and it works for 6 months or so. The problem is once the rain comes and a big truck or any car comes, the water fills the hole and then the rocks kind of float. And as soon as the car comes by, it knocks them all out. And this year they have not done it because there's no money, I guess, for anything.
God, I thought you said you saw some piles.
I did. It's just right in front of the polygono, and it's just a little...
Do you think they just bought it?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's just for in front. Well, it's fine. Hey, if they fix that, that's better. But everyone's complaining about it, and it's fend for yourself this year.
Do you think Pierangelo will come out and you'll move Tara around again?
No, I don't think anyone... He's busy. It's summertime now. He's got stuff to do.
God, speaking of stuff to do, the chickens are finally laying eggs. Not many, but out of 20, we get two a day. So they're still young.
They're still young. We'll give them a shot.
They're very misshapen. And the what's funny is the red... roosters lay brown eggs.
No,
and
their roosters don't lay eggs.
The red hens lay brown eggs. And the black hens lay white eggs. So we're getting a mix, one of each day. But hopefully soon more will be coming. We're trying to train the chickens right now. They're in phase afternoon open, free range. So first, when we get our hens, we keep them in the coop and we want them to know that that's their home. So we keep them in the inner coop and we just want them to know this is where they eat, this is where they live, this is where they go to sleep.
Couple weeks.
Yeah. Then we open them up into what we call the playpen, and that they have...
It's pretty big.
It's pretty big. It's pretty sweet space. And it goes up a little bit of a hill, so they've got little trails. And
you have shade. There's a couple trees.
Yeah.
There's brush.
It's awesome. It's still really sweet. And so they make that their home. And then once they start laying their eggs in the right spot, we let the door open, and they're completely free range. And now that they've started laying and we're seeing that they're putting them in the, you know, in the coop where we want them to, now it's time to open the door, and we've been doing it in the afternoons, so it's been fun to have the hens and rooster. And the rooster just started crowing. It was hysterical.
But here's what I don't understand. They have all this space. They have everywhere to go that they could want to go. Why do they walk right onto the stone, look at you, poop, turn around, and walk away?
It's true.
It's like if you just walked into the grass and pooped 6 feet from where you're currently standing, we'd have no problems.
None.
None whatsoever. In fact, it'd be great fertilizer. But no.
You have to walk out right onto the stone, right by the front door. Wait another month till they poop in the kitchen. When we're not looking and they try to run in.
Oh, but I wish we had more interest. I mean, we've been just working, so we don't have fun, interesting stories other than...
Burning
my hand and...
Weddings.
Yeah, and watering and cutting grass and all that. But there are tons of stuff going on in and around Italy because it is now summertime, which means it's festival time. Ashley, you went to, a few weeks ago, La Fiorita.
Yes, the first Sunday in June is La Fiorita, and this is for Corpus Dominus. It's a religious holiday, and they put Italians all over Italy will celebrate by decorating the streets in flower petals. And just like Jason was saying about the produce being very scant this spring, so were the flowers. So when I went to Piobico to take some pictures and show some family that was in town, La Fiorita, I thought this will be really cool. We'll go early and I'll show them everyone's setting up. And these two old women told me, it's not even really happening this year. And there's no money. The flowers cost so much. It will be poco poco. Very little, very little. And it's not that it was so little, it was that they were like 3 hours late. I thought, oh, we'll go. Everyone kept saying three or four. It didn't even start till like six because it was all those passing thunderstorms. Do you remember? And so we go and I run into Giancarlo and Jackie, our old neighbors and that have moved into town. And they were showing me that what they were using this year, because the flowers were so expensive, is colored sawdust, like wood chips and sawdust. And I like dyed blue and pink. And I just thought that was so cool, but, it was really beautiful. So, that happens at the first week of June all over, especially in like Sicily and things like that. It's just over the top. It's absolutely gorgeous to see these streets covered in, flower petals and or colored sawdust. And then they do mass going through the streets and kind of break up the flower petals that way. It's really cool.
The best part about summer, I think, is all the festivals that go on. And unfortunately for La Marche, it's not easy to find information on where they are or when they are or what's going on. But there's one good way. Well, you talk about it. You're the
There's a site that I like to check out called MarcheInfeste.it. So it's MarcheInfeste.it, which means Marche in Festival. And this has a pretty comprehensive, up-to-date list of the festivals going on in La Marche. And so I have favorited the site. And when we have an evening off, this is the first place, unless I look on our blog, Eating Your Way Through the Marche series, then I'll check out what's going on and see if there's anything we want to go to. So I thought, let's go through the site and not only kind of mention a few of the upcoming events, but tell you guys how to read the site, because you can't, they don't have an English tab. And it's actually really easy to navigate, even if you don't speak Italian. So you go to the homepage, and you'll see the little jester and Marche in Festa, Marche in Festival. And you'll see on the left side your series of tabs, Svolia. And below that, you'll see Eventi, Inserisci, Evento, Aria, Utenti. So all you have to – you're going to start getting overwhelmed. And you're going to see kind of some dates and things like that. So what you're going to want to do is just click on Eventi. And Eventi just means events. All the things below don't apply to you. It's to add events and all of these things. On the right hand, on the far right hand side, you'll see a tab that says Filtra per Provincia. That means filter by province. So then you can kind of hone in to the area that you'll be visiting. So for our area, we're in Pesaro Urbino. So we like to click there. Or you can check for the whole area if you're willing to drive, or you'll be in different parts in different days. And there's another way to filter underneath it. Filtra per categoria, filter by category. And you can see Sagra, which means
a food festival,
cinema, all of these things. And so you can kind of help narrow things down.
Or you can just take the URL and go straight to Google Translate and you're done.
Exactly.
But it's really good. It's all in chronological order, and you could say, hey, we're going to be near Ancona in the last week of June. What festivals are going on? Normally they'll say they're Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but really Friday nights are never really that hopping. It's usually Saturdays and Sunday afternoons.
Uh-huh.
And these are great places to A, get something that's really usually delicious and cheap. See a little bit of Italian culture and
music,
art, you know, we've been to ones where it's a medieval festival. They did jousting. Sometimes they have the medieval, what do they call it? The medieval little, where they have all the stalls and everything. Medieval market.
Uh-huh.
We've been to fish festivals. I mean, you just go on there and check it out. And if you're in La Marche, I don't know about for any other, regions, but it's a great, it's the one of the only places to find information
it
on
is
what to
and
do.
It's really easily easy to navigate, so that's why we're recommending it.
So check it out,
check it out. Marque and Festa. And what I'm looking at right now this weekend is June Beer Fest, festival of artisanal microbrews in Pesaro. Pretty cool.
Oh, wonderful.
Speaking of microbrews, tomorrow is our Fridays in Apecchio.
That's right. Tomorrow we've got 6 people. We're taken to our market Friday in Apecchio. Feel like a local. And we're going to go to stop at Fusciani, our meat and cheese guy. And we do a little tour of his wonderful meat and cheese warehouse. Then we'll take a little walk through the market. We'll get a little porchetta sandwich, and we'll talk about porchetta. We'll get a little coffee, and then we head up to Distilleria Colesi.
Yeah, it's awesome. And then go to lunch.
And then lunch at the Hunter's Hideaway. It's a wonderful – people really dig it.
It's really fun.
It's a fun afternoon.
We had recently actually some podcast listeners who stayed with us, Jim and Holly from Connecticut. And little shout out your way. They came out and we went on the beer and markets and all of that, the Fridays in Apecchio with them. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, people seem to really dig it. And we do the tag team. I go because I can't be gone for a whole afternoon, morning and afternoon, because I still have to cook dinner for everyone that evening. So we do.
And I can't be gone early in the morning because there's breakfast and guests checking out or checking in.
So we have to do a little bit of a tag team. So what we do is I hop a ride with one of the whoever's going to Apecchio. It's only 5 minutes away. And then Ashley will come usually during the beer tasting around noonish and tag it. And I take the car that she just drove in, and then I race before everything closes to do all my shopping.
Yes.
For the day.
Exactly.
It seems to work
and then
out.
I eat a wonderful lunch.
And then Ashley eats a huge lunch. We've done this like 5 times now. I've yet to go have lunch and then everyone comes home a little drunk, pretty full, and it's
in a haze.
In a little haze. And it's like, I never get to go eat the beautiful tagliata and the wonderful potatoes.
I brought it back for you last time.
I know, I ate it cold like an animal.
It was so good, too. And I was embarrassed, but I was like, can I please bring some of this home? I felt so bad. I
don't
thought the
do
same
that.
Thing. No, I know, but I thought the same thing going, we've done this so many times and you haven't had the meat.
I know, but that's not
tacky.
Tacky a little bit. Yeah, they don't really do that here to go. I'll take a doggy bag. I know something that we could talk about really quick that was kind of funny and fun. We were just in
what was funny and
funny and fun. We were just in the Ashley did a interview for the Financial Times.
That was big stuff.
We were in the Financial Times the 15th of 5 days ago, the 15th of June. But the fun part was we had my first real photo shoot with a real photographer. No,
he was like a professional,
real,
yeah, Italian fashion photographer, and he would yell at us.
When they first contacted us about this article, they said we want a photo, and Ashley was like, "Yeah, I'll send you. We have tons of photos." And they're like, "No, we have a photographer," and it was like, "Oh God, who's gonna show up? Are we gonna do the cheesy like looking back over your shoulder with a glass of wine or staring into each other's eyes?" There's a lot.
Jason was very skeptical.
I was very well. If you walk into any photo studio in our area, the wedding photo albums
circa 1994.
It is 94. It wants their photo albums back, but Who showed up was nothing like this at all.
Alessandro Moggi.
Moggi. And he was awesome. He was a real... I didn't realize he was coming.
He had just like done a huge spread for Polo. And he was hysterical.
He was out in the middle of nowhere taking pictures of these two Americans, but he was great. He was a phenomenal photographer, and he was hysterical because it was him and his assistant, and the assistant would hold the speed light, the flash over in the corner, and He would start yelling at us, yes, in Italian, yes, yes, stop, ferma, stop right there, yes, yes. And then the he'd take so many pictures that the flash wouldn't go off one or two of the times, and he'd start cursing up a storm and saying all these things in dialect that we asked him. He shouted something sometime, and we were like, what did you just say? And he's like, I can't tell you.
I can't even tell you.
I do not want to offend you. But he took, oh my God, we took tons of pictures.
Like, yeah.
But it was great. And the ones that
I thought he'd be here for like 15, 20
minutes.
I'm like, Ashley,
I need to know, how much of my day do I have to block out for, to take for picture time? How many pictures?
It was actually like 3 hours.
It was 3 hours. But, the one that I liked the best was he got a shot of my hands, cause I had to make, it was Thursday night, and it was like, I have to make pizza dough now because we have pizza tonight, and I love to take more pictures, but if I don't start making this pizza dough, it's not going to rise. He's like, perfect, perfect. And he gets up right on my hands and takes these shots quickly as I'm kneading the dough. And man.
With like no light.
With no light. So it's real shadowy. And you just see, you could, if you put like three of them or four of them together, you could see like the progression of kneading the dough. And I really liked that one. That was really cool. But it was funny. He was a character.
He totally was.
And we are going to buy the pictures that weren't used in the photo. They used one. I got cut out. We must have taken literally 800 pictures together. And the one that shows up in the paper is the one Ashley by herself. Not that I kind of wanted to be in it.
Because he kept telling you how gorgeous you were.
He did. He says, I am not gay.
But your eyes are beautiful.
Your eyes are beautiful, Jason.
You are beautiful. I'm not gay, but those eyes, they are beautiful.
I wonder if he tells every person that he takes a picture like that, you are beautiful. You are doing so well. You are not fat at all.
You think that's his way to sweet talk.
Yes. But I guess it was a article about women entrepreneurs. So
it wasn't about women entrepreneurs. It was about expats. Entrepreneurs, and they chose...
I thought it was something to do with women.
No.
So they just didn't want my...
They just used the interview as me. No, I know. I'm way more interesting. Not really. What else? What were we going to talk about? I want to give a couple shout outs before we wrap it up tonight too. Evan and Erica in New York. What? I never know what to really say. It was great to see you guys. Evan, it was wonderful to see you back here. And I know you listened to the podcast, so we wanted to just give you a little shout out. Susan in Chicago, come on out, baby. We know that you're planning your move out here, and we're totally looking forward to it. And keep us posted on your progress. And I know this is a totally cheesy shout out, and I don't even exactly know who to say the name. Well, just the cheesy shout out to all the family and friends who made it out for my sister's wedding. And thanks for taking the long ass flights and the crazy delays and the rental cars and the all the frustrations, which is really funny, by the way, because a lot of people for some reason on their first night talk shit
about how hard it was to get here.
Yes.
Oh, a really interesting thing we've noticed. We have had literally like four or five guests coming into the Rome. If you're flying into the Rome airport and getting a rental car, be prepared for it not to be there or ready.
Or just massive delays.
Massive delays. And it's not like it's just Hertz or just Avis. I think it's
been across the board. Cars aren't there. Cars are there. Keys are there, but you're not processed. I don't know. It's just been a cluster F.
That's not the Italy I know.
Well, should we not end it on a negative note? Can you think of anything super positive?
No, that's not negative. That is an informative.
That's breaking news.
Nothing else. Tomorrow we got that. Saturday we're doing a cooking class.
Full day
cooking class with a family who has a 14-year-old son who's very interested in becoming a cook. And I think I burst his bubble a little bit today.
Why? What'd you say?
I said, I hope you're ready to work long hours and make no money.
Yeah. And burn your hands.
And burn your hand. No, this was not cooking related.
I know.
I don't want that to go on the... I don't want the... Listen, I almost chopped my finger off. I've deep fried my hands. I do not need this going on the record as a cooking related...
No, but it's going to be nasty.
It is. All right. Before we bring it home, we want to thank all our listeners. And if you enjoyed what you hear, if you like our ramblings, our sporadic podcast, do us a huge favor and tell a friend. You know someone who's coming to Italy and would dig what kind of thing that we're doing here. spread the word. That's the way we like to do it. Grassroots. And without you guys listening, we would be talking to no one.
We wouldn't even be doing it. It's because so many people have emailed us. It's been incredible saying, where are the podcasts? So we're so thankful for
don't
the few that listen.
Don't you have better things to do with your lives?
Has anyone been watching Arrested Development?
Oh, God. Come on. All right. Bring us home.
Thank you guys for listening. You can find us on our blog or website, latavolamarche.com. LATAVOLAMARCHE. Our blog, latavolamarche.blogspot.com, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. I think that since we've put out the last podcast, I've posted a new video on YouTube also of visiting the winemakers in La Marche that we get our wine from and bottling wine. So check that out on YouTube. I'll try to post the link as well. And you find us all over the place, Pinterest, Google, whatever.
Just Google it. And did you spell it?
Yeah, LATAVOLAMARCHE.
Okay, very good. Well, from still quite warm.
It is. It's going on midnight.
It's going on midnight, and it is not cool outside. But it is definitely Italian weather, and our beautiful hillsides in right outside of Piobico, Italia. Thank you so much for downloading and listening, and we will speak to you whenever the next time we may be. All right.
Buonanotte.
Ciao.